Well, hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. We are delighted you are joining us. And today we have an incredibly special guest. In fact, I might argue the most special guest at Cloverdale Baptist Church. Can you introduce yourself to us?
Hi, it's Lori.
Lori. Okay. So I, you know, obviously should maybe explain why you're so special. You happen to be my wife and the office administrator. And this is where it comes into play in this podcast, the great missions partner that I had on the last trip we went on.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor Rob Hubby. We appreciated so much that the church sent us on this mission trip, and to be by your side serving with you is one of the greatest joys of my life, and we had a wonderful experience, very humbling, but it was a wonderful time, a treasured trip for us as we saw the hand of God on so much that went on there.
Well, you just jumped right in. I suppose that's, you know, you tend to be very quick. You always have been, good athlete that you are. So let me ask you a question, just so we can help those listening. Where did we go?
Well, it was a fairly close country, and pastors and others came out of a close country that is filled with turmoil and persecution so that we could teach and encourage them. It was amazing to see God work, and we were just very awestruck by the hand of God. Pastor Rob, you often talk about God being real and relevant, and we really saw that together on this trip. God did help us in our weakness.
It's so true. It's funny to hear you call me Pastor Rob, so I'm going to have to get used to that on this podcast. When you say close country, I just want to clarify for those listening, in case they don't understand, fairly close country means that it's they pretend that they're open, but it's illegal to preach the gospel there. That's the place we went to. And then close country means that you can die for your faith, not just be in prison, but literally killed just for being a Christian. And in this case, it's an Islamic country. And for converting from Islam, literally they can kill you and there's no consequences. And being a close country, especially this country currently under intense persecution, and it was a horrific thing. Now, Lori, you also said pastor's wife, Lori, you also said that God helped us in our weaknesses. And I think that was one of the highlights of our trip, that boasting in our weaknesses. Can you just give us some examples so that we can think about that as a congregation?
For sure. Well, there were many, but the night before that we were planning on leaving, I randomly just got violently ill. And given the current state of travel, where we were pretty sure that it meant that I might not be able to go with you.
Well, yeah, everybody's worried about any sort of sickness at all, and you were violently sick, to use your words.
Was in a little bit of a rough shape. But we prayed, and others prayed, and I felt a lot better by the time we left, although it was sad to miss the church praying for us together that morning. But
they did pray for me.
Yeah.
But for those listening, Lori was at home in bed trying to recover in any way she possibly could for the slight chance that she could join me on the flight.
And I must say that so many of you have texted and emailed and assured us of your prayers, and we felt those prayers so strongly in our ministry and the entire time we were away.
Yeah, it was amazing. And Laura, I was so thankful. I was at the office getting ready for the service that morning and looking for flights for you, and it was a nightmare. There were flights, but they were 30, 40-hour flights, and you flying alone, which I wasn't overly comfortable with, way prefer to have you with me. So we're just so thankful that God answered our prayers. You weren't fully recovered, but it was so much better. And we survived the flight. Actually, it was a good flight. We enjoy being together. So it was enjoyable to be together for those, 14, 15 hours, whatever it was. For me, the weakness, I don't like to go see doctors, as my wife would tell you. And I had a sore knee and then I fell and sore back. And for those of you who are listening that are male, you understand that's way worse than anything any female could go through. So I was in intense pain. And just thankful that the doctors helped and was able to get through. I also think in terms of weakness, as Laura and I were talking about this, it's difficult to understand the pain that the people that came are going through. There's a revolution in their country, or certainly happening now even, that we don't follow too much on the news here. But now, of course, Laura and I are much more sensitive to news that we see. There was death involved and certainly persecution. One of the people attending had been shot just recently with a shotgun. He had pellets all over his back. Horrific. Some had desertion of close friends. In fact, one of the questions that we were repeatedly asked at the conference is, what if someone deserts Christianity to be safe, to not be persecuted, to not die, or to be able to work and have a job, or to make sure their children are safe, and those sort of questions. And when you come from Canada, as you well know, these questions are really difficult to answer. It's so important we stayed with the Word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. Many of the people that came also had family that wanted to kill them. And It's just such a privilege, and yet being Canadian and thinking like a Canadian, you had to revamp that. Both Lori and I had to revamp that and think through, okay, God's word is sufficient. God's spirit uses God's servants when they preach his word. But so often, not only the pain of the back and your health issues and some other things that happened, but also just being able to go there and minister to these incredibly courageous, simple faith kind of a people is a weakness in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And I really loved your teaching and especially your willingness to adapt your teaching while I prayed and while CBC prayed. There was a little bit of resistance at first, and it was really so encouraging to see how the Holy Spirit just led you to shift your what you had planned into what was needed the most. I also saw God in the small things, even the border lineup before we were going. There was a car that just kind of cut us off, and I was like, oh.
Well, I was gracious. I let them in, I think. Yeah. I think they waved in, yeah. Which yeah. I'm not often gracious in border lineups, for the record.
So, yeah, they cut right in front of us, and then we just sort of looked at each other as they got sent in for a random check. And had that not happened, we would have been it would have been a little bit awkward with the amount of things that we had in our suitcases for others, and it would have been a little bit harder to explain.
Yeah,
and we were very thankful.
Why are you importing all of this makeup and pens, and are you going to sell them in the United States? Yeah, I was so thankful, Laura.
Yeah, that was really great.
Yeah, just again, God in little things, and I think even in little things like when you talk about God moving, there were some of our friends, some pastors from this persecuted country who couldn't make it. Their lives were at risk, and even to cross a border would have meant imprisonment, maybe death. They were replaced. So our interpreter, our person that was running the conference, replaced them with people who had such a great need. And we saw God move in such powerful ways in the people that weren't supposed to be there, but came because some of the people who were supposed to be there couldn't come. And you just remember again, God is always at work, even in the disappointments, which for me, as some of my friends that I've met at previous conferences and built relationships with couldn't come, was so disappointed. And yet, as we saw God move, we saw eternity changed because of those disappointments. And it's just a great reminder of the sovereignty of God. Laura, question for you. What was your highlight?
There were many, but I would say that what comes to mind is the watching and the waiting for the right opportunity to, and the perfect timing of God to give the gifts and to hold the ladies and pray for them. And even though they couldn't understand what I was saying, they sure felt the power and the love of God right through what I was saying. And that was a real encouragement. It was wonderful to have Freshde there, who is such a great support to help with the translation so I could communicate with the ladies and just help me with getting the gifts and organizing all that. And yeah, it was a really joy to get to know her a little more and to kind of be a team in helping the ladies there.
You guys both had so much fun giving away the gifts.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch. Yeah. And the ladies so enjoyed them. I mean, I know the men enjoyed the pens mm-hmm. more, of course, but mm-hmm. the ladies lining up and being excited and running over and mm-hmm. and so much work that you put into that, that was a delight for me. For me, the highlight, I think, well, serving with you, Lori, is just a delight. I know with children for a little while, it was difficult for you to get away. And so often I would travel to these conferences alone. And that was a privilege and an honor. But to have you by my side, I know one time I looked over at you kind of laughing and you were praying and you didn't realize it, but you were actually praying a little bit out loud. So kind of blocking the sound of the sermon. I just love the privilege of serving God with you. You're a treasure for me. I love how the power of God moves through his word to encourage people who so desperately needed it. And I just love the prayers from our church family and this family. These Christians from this closed country, persecuted under intense economic pressure and family pressure and really the threat of death, so weak, came, I would even say, angry, hurt. I don't even know the words to say, mm-hmm. longing for some sort of hope. And yet I think when we first got there, I'm sure if they could get it. And then the impact that God's word had in bearing fruit and preaching in an expository manner, expositing texts and showing the greatness of God and the glory of the gospel and the delight we can have in trusting in him in all circumstances and even people that have gone before us and delighting in that. So just to know the impact of the conference, not only on eternity, as some came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, but also so many, I would say almost everyone at the conference, maybe everyone at the conference, Laura, left just going, we came hopeless, now we have hope,
yeah.
and courageous to go back and serve in difficult things. And Just to say to those who are praying for us, thank you. You joined us in our struggle. God uses us in our weakness to accomplish his work for his glory. And it was amazing. It is just a highlight to be used by God. And Lori, again, I would go back to say, to be used by God with you as a partner there. I mean, you're a partner for me always, and certainly you helped me a lot at Cloverdale Baptist. But to have you by my side on the mission field was just so much fun for me. So thank you for coming. And also to have someone to bounce things off of. What do you think? Should we change this? What about this message? And just to have someone that I could bounce some of the changes that we decided to make after praying and thinking and hearing from our listeners. Just a privilege to have you there. Highlight for me. So Laura, I wonder, you did a lot of praying. One of your, you know, if you talked about roles, one of your roles was to pray for me, to encourage the ladies, the gifts, but also to pray with those ladies. And I think Tony really wanted that to be a highlight as well. Can you just share maybe some highlights of that and maybe even some prayer requests that they shared? I wanted to keep it minimal. I know you have a number, and maybe when we give our church report, we can give all of those, but maybe you could share some of those.
Sure. Yeah, they felt so incredibly fortunate and didn't feel alone because they knew that when we had come that there, we had a whole church backing us and praying for them. And it was a real encouragement to our hearts knowing that they came in their life, they are alone so much of the time, and that they, you know, it kind of was very impactful for them to realize that they had all of our church that was surrounding them and supporting them.
Freshdy kind of bragged that up too, didn't she?
Yeah.
I remember just listening to the two of you. And they were very encouraged that a church in Canada would be praying for them so intensely.
It really did blow them away that they weren't alone. When I asked for some of the prayer requests, you know, the ladies gave some, and then the men were like, hey, we want to give ours too. So we ended up with quite a nice list.
Why do you ladies always leave us men out when it comes to prayer requests?
A number of them had said that they, that to pray that they would feel hope when life hurts and they feel hopeless. So that was probably the number one request that came through over and over again, is that they would feel hope.
We sure heard it. Just that faith in the midst of a life. Walk by faith and not by sight. You know, stop asking why and start seeing who. And of course, we tried to help them understand. Anyway, great prayer request, Laura. Were there others? I know there were others.
One of the ladies was pregnant and is expecting, and she was asking for a safe delivery of the baby, but also for safety for them, because they're in such a dangerous location and a dangerous situation.
Terrorists all around them. If they find out that he's a pastor, they can take the baby at any time and kill them.
Yeah, so she was dealing with a lot of fear.
Little aside, I loved how she came to Lori afterwards with tears in her eyes, and she said, you've taught me how to pray for my husband. Her husband's a pastor. I just usually pray for my safety, and now I'm going to pray for power for God to use him. It's just, it was cute. But again, the example of Lori being there and supporting me was an impact, a huge impact for her and an encouragement to her. So yeah, pray for her, pray for the delivery of her baby, and also the safety of that precious couple.
Absolutely. And thirdly, I would say just for one more was the immense amount of prayer that was required for people's family members. Many aren't Christians and didn't know the Lord, and they were praying for their family and for their health and for this, for just that the country would shift and that they
would. So important. You know. We even had the privilege of meeting some who weren't at the conference. And yeah, I think, Laura, those are great. And maybe when we do get together and give a report, I would love for you to maybe even publish a document that has all of these so that we can be praying. We did commit to pray. Laura and I are trying to pray consistently for them. So we're trying to do that. Now, we felt it was really important that this trip changed us. I think in many ways a highlight trip for us as a couple in ministry partnership. We wanted to share some challenges with you. And so to do that, we have five challenges for Cloverdale Baptist Church, or really for anyone who will listen to this podcast. And really from our hearts to yours, we want you to hear this from us because our hearts are full of the privilege of being used by God, full of the lessons that he taught us. And you can learn so much from fellow believers around the world. It's just such a privilege to be on a missions trip for him on your behalf. So what are those five lessons? Well, I want to give you number one, and that is that we need to remember, we know this, but when you see it on the mission field, it's even more so that God is everything. He is all. To live is Christ, to die is gain. All-defining relationship. He is worth it. And when you're with people who literally are giving up everything to follow Christ and are tempted, so many of them would tell us their stories, their testimonies, and if they're just willing to deny Christ, they could get everything back, money and job and all of the things they had lost. And and for them to stand firm and to say to us with tears in their eyes and tears in our eyes, he is worth it. I just want us to remember that and challenge you now, as you don't have to give up everything, to be willing to say, to live as Christ, to die as gay, to seek an all-defining relationship with him, to grow as much as you can in that relationship with him so that you are driven and defined by it, that we might be those different from the world, in the world, but not of the world, because God is our everything. So my challenge, and really the challenge for Lori and I as well, let's be those who can say honestly from our hearts to live as Christ, to die as gain, that we know him and love him with a first love devotion. And just to challenge you and encourage you, and obviously that this is what real revival is, let's seek to have that first love devotion in Canada as the world around us shifts and we see moving farther and farther away from God. Let's make sure that we move closer and closer to God, even though that might mean ostracization and all sorts of things. So just that I can encourage you, lesson number one, as we saw it in their lives, willing to give it all for Jesus, let's be those willing to give all for Jesus here.
Absolutely. Number two is we had the gospel saves and brings hope. And Pastor Rob, as usual, put the gospel central in everything that he shared and taught. And we saw it bear the fruit of hope in Jesus right there. There were three of the people that came, and they came to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what a tremendous privilege. A number of them also shared how they saw the love of Jesus and how Rob and I interacted and treated them. And that was a real blessing.
It's so cool because mm-hmm. I think in their world, women are really devalued. And of course, in my world, that she's my treasure. So for them to see that and then to see Lori interact with me and joke and, you know, there's some funny things we did back and forth. And for them to watch that, and a number of them actually said to us, We see Jesus in you. We see the life of the Spirit in you. In fact, one of the non-believers who became a believer said, you know, for the first time, she's seen Christianity so full of hypocrites and so full of this. And at the conference, she included some of the others there. But specifically, Laura and I, she could see Jesus in us and how we interacted. Sorry, go ahead. This was
please jump right in there. It was a little bit difficult the first few days. I had said before, feeling a bit of resistance from them and some of their pain and some of the anger coming out. But the love of the gospel and Jesus was something that they saw and responded to. And it just softened. It eventually was just such a softening as Rob's shifted things. But, you know, the love of Jesus and how the gospel saves does bring hope.
I think in that, Laura, just so that we can be gospel-oriented people always, that the gospel gives hope to us and also to those around us, that we live with holiness and love. And then in every situation, consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. I agree with you. That was such a great highlight. Number three. So number one, God is everything. Number two, the gospel saves and brings hope. Number three, even the most committed get discouraged. I have felt every time we've gone to minister to these people, what a privilege it is to minister to people that are so committed to Christ. And yet, what we discovered here is the imprisonments, the isolation, the attack on their livelihood, the danger of their families, their children, their unborn children. There was just so much discouragement. And it's just a good reminder to us that real life is difficult sometimes, and we need to constantly go back and walk by faith and not by sight, and be those who learn from God's word to have courage and to have hope and to hear those stories. And so for me, I think it's just a reminder that even the most committed, even the most faithful, even those who are courageous enough to be pastors in a closed country where they could die for it, can sometimes experience deep, deep discouragement. And we need to see that in one another and have grace and sensitivity and the courage to be encouragers. And I think for me, what I would encourage you, Cloverdale Baptist Church, look for people to encourage. It is easy to be discouraged in the world and not of the world, as we're called to be. And I would encourage you to come with your antenna up and minister hope and faithfulness. And remember, if someone's discouraged, it doesn't mean they're not faithful. Job was discouraged, one of the most faithful men to ever live. Elijah, who had such power from God, righteous man, and so many others. Just encourage you, look for those who you can be a blessing to and point to Jesus and call to live for his glory in the world, but not of the world. Even the most committed get discouraged.
Right. Okay, number four, God's word and God's people bring encouragement and hope through God's Spirit.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah, it was.
I think your husband wrote that.
I think so.
Yeah.
But we saw truly that God was at work through the preaching and the gifts and the prayers and just being with one another. And it was amazing to see the hope that God gave them through this ministry of our church family. It wasn't just us that went. We all went. And we are so grateful for everybody's input into the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, to think that our congregation, through their prayers and sending us and the gifts that we were able to give, were a blessing to the worldwide church, mm-hmm. especially in a close country. And just to remember that God's word and God's people bring encouragement and hope through God's Spirit. There, that sounded better, a little quicker. Mm-hmm. I'd rewrite it now if I could, Laura. Number five, just a reminder to us of the importance of local church. There's one man that we talked to at length, and it's such intense persecution. His life, his story, it made you weep. His pastor was killed, and then he hadn't been around other believers. He'd come to a conference that had been so encouraging to them, and then either the secret police or someone else sharing the pictures, they got into the hands of those who used those pictures to round up Christians and persecute them and emotionally abuse them, and it, physically, of course, torture. It's just one of those things where you listen to it, and then in tears in his eyes, he says, it's so good to be around other Christians. It's so good to be hearing the word of God. He just lit up. It was almost like light came on all around him. And it's just a reminder for me. Sometimes when we have church at our disposal, I suppose COVID is a reminder of this for us as well, although it came with such destruction. But just a reminder, church and encouragement of one another, the gathering together of believers is essential. It's so important, and encourage you to be committed and join in encouraging and blessing and being a blessing. It's not just the gathering. It's the gathering to glorify God by being a blessing to one another, hearing the word of God preached, praising God, praying together. It's just so important that we value what God is doing in the local church and see our part in that and using our gifts to build the body of Christ. And so that would be our lesson number five. Mm-hmm. Fight to being a part of a healthy church. Fight to honor God. Fight to love others. And if you fight to selflessly love, if you can hear from the hearts of the persecuted church, oh, belong to the church and build her, I think so many of the things that can threaten to discourage us or divide us just disappear. And you could certainly see that. Here are people gathered from all over the country we are ministering to, mm-hmm. in another country. And the unity we found and the love we found because we gathered around God and his word and a passion to please God. Just again, the importance of local church just reverberated in my heart and mind. And I think, Laura, for you, the same.
Absolutely. So. And I think, too, just not taking it for granted. It was that just kind of really stamped that in my heart, that we live in such a freedom, and to not take that for granted, because not everybody has that. And it was very impactful for me.
I love it. Well, Laura, I thank you for joining me on Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. I know this is not your first love to get on podcasts. I know I even had to twist your arm a little bit. I think it was very good to have you on here. Thank you, Cloverdale Baptist, for sending us, supporting us with gifts and precious prayers for these people. Thank you for being a church that cares about God and the gospel here and around the world. Thank you not only for sending us to this conference where there was a huge impact, and we can testify to that as we heard their testimonies. Not only an impact, but already we're hearing reports of them taking what they learned and spreading it around the country they came from, and seeing the impact of that. It is exciting to be a part of the family of God. It is exciting to serve God. And we partnered in the gospel with you, mm-hmm. with each other, and are so thankful for you and for your sending of us.
Amen. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day.